Ordinarily, I would roll up my sleeves to get to work, but I'm going to roll them down. Shabbat shalom. Everybody doing all right? Well, this Shabbat brings us to the introduction of the fifth book of Moses, known in the English Bible as Deuteronomy, and in the Hebrew Bible as Dvarim, words. The book begins, "These are the words which Moses spoke to all Israel across the Jordan in the wilderness." Normally, I think most of you know, the Hebrew names of the books and parashas derive from the key word in the opening sentence. So how did we get the name Deuteronomy? It's from the Greek words deuteros, meaning a second time, and nomos, meaning law. And it's actually based on a misunderstanding of chapter 17, verse 18, which reads, "Now it shall come about when he," talking about Israel's king, "sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself a copy of this law on a scroll." Somehow, instead of a copy of this law, we ended up with a second law. And so the book itself received that name. But in fairness, the book of Deuteronomy really does reiterate much of the content of Exodus and Numbers. So it's like the law a second time. It's a recapping of our initial approach to Canaan, our disobedience there, and having to turn around and head back into the wilderness. It culminates with our return a generation later to claim the land. It also recounts our victories over Sihon and Og, the kings of Heshbon and Bashan, and the beginning of the conquest of the land. But sadly, Deuteronomy opens with a reminder of Israel's dismal failure. Verse 2 says that the entire journey from Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea ordinarily took just 11 days. Yet verse 3 says, "And it came about in the 40th year." 40 years to go 11 days journey? What went wrong? Are our people directionally dysfunctional? Should we have used Google Maps? Moses tells us why. It was on account of disbelief, leading to rebellion and resulting in judgment. God had told us, "See, I have placed the land before you. Go in and possess it." But Israel second-guessed the living God. Before the invasion, we decided to send an advance party to check out the situation first, get some intel. For 40 days, these 12 men, representing each of the tribes, spied out the land. They returned with a report. The land was lovely and fruitful. Truly, Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash, a land flowing with milk and honey. But 10 of the 12 spies discouraged the people with fearful stories of fortified cities and races of giants that dwarfed the Israelis by comparison. The 10 spies did not believe that the battle belongs to the Lord. Their discouraging report frightened our people into giving up before we'd even started. And fearful people are capable of very ugly behavior. The crowd turned on Moses, accusing him and God of evil intent. This despite the many and wonderful miracles that we had witnessed firsthand that Adonai performed. That generation of Israel was consigned to turn around and spend 40 years sojourning in the Sinai, a year for each of the days they spied out the land. God commanded us, saying, "Turn around and set out for the wilderness by the way to the Red Sea." Well, what happened? When we heard that, we said, no, wait. We'll give it a try. But Moses, speaking for Adonai, warned us not to attempt it. We had had our opportunity and refused it. If we insisted on going in now, God would not go with us, and it would end disastrously. But again, we didn't listen and tried to engage the Canaanites in battle. Just as promised, we were driven back and many of our people were needlessly killed. Finally, we were ready to obey God, humbled. And so we turned back to the wilderness with our numbers sadly diminished. If that was the end of the story, it would be discouraging indeed. But Adonai graciously preserved us in the wilderness and brought the next generation back to Canaan to successfully conquer it. There would have been no covenant, no relationship, no future had God simply written Israel off, as some suppose that he has. But the very fact that we have this book, Dvarim, demonstrates that God is a God of second chances. He is committed to Israel, and he's committed to you if you are in covenant relationship with him through Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, the one he sent to redeem mankind. Being joined to Messiah means that God is committed to the process of training you. And it's for an eternity that we're going to spend in his presence. So this is good training ground. Are you committed to the process as well? Sometimes it's hard. If so, even the discipline we endure when we fail is a discipline that we can embrace because we're convinced of his love for us. In chapter 2, Israel is commanded not to provoke the Edomites, Esau's descendants, our cousins. God had already given them the whole region of Seir, and we were not going to get any of that. And he told us not to harass the Moabites, as we were not entitled to any of their land. But you know, there's a warning here as well, a warning that we not refuse God and turn away. You and I are expected to learn from Israel's mistakes. The scriptures have been wondrously preserved in large part so that this generation might not repeat the mistakes of that generation and the failure of that generation in Israel and suffer similarly. Now, the good news for Israel is that God forgives. That next generation, led by Joshua, did indeed conquer the land and took possession of it, according to God's command. And the good news for us is that God forgives. The atoning death of Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth, is more than sufficient to reconcile us to God and bring forgiveness for our sins. But be clear about this. Disobedience to God's word leads to trouble, disaster, and heartache. Don't second guess him. Don't doubt the wisdom that comes through his word. The author of the letter to the Messianic Jews, the book of Hebrews, quoting from Psalm 95, wrote, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation." And he went on to write, "Take care, brothers, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God." And if you have not yet trusted in Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, then you have unresolved business with God. I suggest you settle it today. And if you are a believer, don't turn away or run away from the process of that discipline. It is the one who endures that proves to be his disciple. It's really important that we finish well. Amen.